wonderful picture of God's grace and his mercy. Isn't it though? When you consider all, Craig, I mean, all that has happened at Calvary, that when Christ was on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wanda, he had us on his mind. And anytime you're placed in life in a season or a struggle where you are becoming discouraged, I encourage you to always look to the cross. To the cross, where we see God's love. We see God's power of redemption. We see that the veil of the temple was rent in two at the cross, giving us holy access. Do you get that? That because of what Christ accomplished on the cross, we're able to be in the presence of God as the children of God. And no matter what happens in this life, nothing can undo what God has done. Dre, I think that's Twitter form right there. I think we could tweet that, right? Nothing can undo what God has, what he's done. And so I invite your attention on this morning as we close our series from the epistle written to the believers, the saints in Ephesus, Ephesians, the sixth chapter. We're going to be looking on this morning at the benediction, if you would. There's a blessing in the benediction. The sixth chapter of Ephesians, particularly the 21st verse. And as you turn there, let me give a big shout out to the First Baptist Church Choir from Mustang, Oklahoma. God bless you all. Oh, you're blessed our hearts. Thank you so much. And listen, anytime you're in town, come here, okay? This is home. So come on here. I trust you made your way there. I'm sorry. You know what, young people? I don't know what I was thinking. I said turn in your Bibles. I should have said turn on your Bibles. There you go. Turn on your Bible. See Ephesians 6th chapter. Some of you are like, what is he talking about? It's okay. It's all right. Not for you. It's for them. But God has a word for us on this morning, and I trust that you will receive it from his word. Here, the 21st verse begins, as Paul is writing to the saints. He's writing from a Roman incarceration. He's writing from prison, but he's writing to the saints to encourage them. Listen to his words. He says, "So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts." Paul says that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. I need you to help me minister on this morning as I am appreciating the pollinated atmosphere that we have. From the Lord. I need your help to preach on this morning. Would you just turn somebody next to you? If they're across from you, just look at them in the eyes like you care about them. Look, you're still looking at me. I said, turn to somebody next to you. Look at them like you care about them and just tell them, be encouraged. Now, how you want them to be encouraged? You didn't even say it in an encouraging way. Right. Let's try this again. Why don't you turn to them and just tell them, be encouraged. Yeah, because every now and then we need encouragement. Can I talk to some real people just for a moment? Every now and then you wake up and you're on a heavenly high, and then something happens on you in the course of the week that strips it from you, and we need, am I talking to myself in it? Anybody ever needed encouragement before? Anybody, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul writes, and when he writes in his text, he says he's writing for the purpose to encourage their hearts. Wayne, you know why that is important? Because all of us from the pulpit to the pew, all of us from the back row Baptist, holler at me for a moment here, back row Baptist, to front row, I don't know if y'all Baptist. I don't know if that's Baptist being. To the front row, we all need it. We do. We need it. No matter how long you've been in church, Man, how long you've been saved. Kevin, you know it, that all of us from time to time will deal with discouragement. Now, you're not alone in that. From the youngest to the oldest, we will have a time where we have to hang out in that place, the depths of discouragement. I mean, it doesn't check your calendar to see whether or not you're busy. Discouragement doesn't check if it's a good time in your life. No, Pastor Benny, discouragement doesn't call you, doesn't tweet you, doesn't let you know it's on its way. It just shows up. And Curtis, when it shows up, you know it's shown up. Anybody here ever been there? You were doing real well, Wanda, but then discouragement knocked on your door, got in the vehicle with you, and began to ride with you. Yeah. I knew you wouldn't say amen to that. That's why I brought my own witness. You know, Tom, I brought my own witness because Elijah would tell you that discouragement is real. There he was on Mount Carmel. He's on Mount Carmel, and he sees the power of God. And as soon as Candace says he sees the power of God come down, burnt up the sacrifice, laps up all, King James, laps, okay, King James, laps up all of the water, burns up the altar, consumes the altar. In the very next moment, he receives an email. Well, it really wasn't an email. It was a letter from Jezebel, but I'm trying to talk to our contemporary culture here. He receives an email, a text, a tweet. He receives a letter from a woman who was high on Haterade. That's not for y'all. That's for my crew in the back here. And in a moment's notice of seeing God's power, he runs into the wilderness discouraged. It can happen. Moses saw God's power prevail in Egypt with plagues that would humble even the mightiest Pharaoh. But then he got caught up by a Red Sea and the enemy pursuing from behind him. And there he was facing the dilemma of discouragement. Hannah was there. Hannah was there. She was desiring to have a child and her womb was barren. And she goes into the temple in tears. Because she too is dealing with discouragement. It's real, y'all. Discouragement will come. But what I love about God's word is that there's nothing that you experience in life, Master Denny, that God's word don't have a word for. If I was in my church back home, I tell you, Baptist folk don't know when to shout. But I'm going to say it one more time, Kevin, so we can hear it. There's nothing you go through in life that God's word, Dre, won't speak to. I'm a firm believer that God's word is still relevant, that it's still meaningful, that it still saves lives, it changes lives, it transforms minds. But we got to be in God's word. And Michael, his word tells us how to even deal with discouragement. I mean, since it's going to come, his word tells us how to deal with it, how to deal definitively with discouragement. I'm right there in text. Because the Apostle Paul, in the context of this text, is sitting in captivity. He's in prison. He's chained to a guard. And chained to a guard, he's in a position and posture to encourage other people. Maybe you missed that. Maybe you missed that. That his encouragement was not based on his condition or circumstance, but there was something on the inside of him that enabled him to be an encouragement for those who weren't in the situation that he was in. Man, I'm trying to help you understand this thing. That there he is in prison, and he's writing this epistle to the saints, and he says the purpose is so that they may be encouraged. In prison, and he's encouraging. Chained, but he's the encourager. Come here, saints of God, come here. Because when you know who you are and whose you are, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You understand that if God be for you, I came here to tell you, if God be for you, no one can be against you. You can have encouragement. Come on here, help me preach for a moment. Tell somebody, be encouraged. I want you to say it until they get it. Say it until they know it. Say it until they understand that you can be encouraged anytime you look and understand that God loves you. Oh, brothers and sisters, listen. God loves us so much that he wants us to live lives of encouragement, that we can be encouraging to others. And the way we do that, the way we deal with encouragement, get this, is to interpret everything. Say everything.
Everything.
To interpret everything through the lens of God's goodness. Did you catch that? That no matter what's happening in life, no matter what you encounter, if you are even in a chained up situation, that you can still be liberated when you look at it through the lens of God's goodness. Okay, maybe y'all don't know this. God is good. No, let me go ahead and press my claim for a moment. God has been good to us. That when you look at over your life, no matter what happens to you, you have to be able to testify that God still has been good to you. I need to check. Anybody been between a rock and a hard place? Anybody got yourself in a pit that only God can get you out of, and you called on him and God? You still struggling here. Let me talk to some other people. Has God ever made a way out of no way? You didn't know how it was going to happen, but you can look back now and say, you know what? It was because of the grace of God has been good to you. In fact, if you drive in Houston and you made it here safely, that's testament that God has been good to you. And we have to recondition ourselves to view the circumstances of life in such a way that we remember God's sovereignty. Man, I hope you get this. Because so oftentimes there's an enemy force, and we talked about this on last week, that wants to distract us and pull us away from what God is doing to us. And if we're not careful, we'll hyper-focus on the negative circumstances of life, that we fail to see that God is still working things out on our behalf, that God is still blessing us, that we're still operating and living under the umbrella of God's grace. That's why the saints of old sing Amazing Grace. Before the preacher got up, Wayne, they sing Amazing Grace, and somebody knew something about the grace of God that Dre, they would celebrate the grace of God even before anybody else had to tell them to celebrate it. Why? Because they knew that God has done something good for them. Oh, we have to be able to view the circumstances of our lives through the lens of God's goodness. Tyrone, my friend, man, good to see you, bro. You're going to remember this. Many people don't remember this, but Tyrone, you're going to remember this. You remember this because back in the day, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going to catch y'all a little later, okay? Back in the day, we had that, you remember that toy we used to have? It's called the Viewmaster. You remember, right? You remember anybody in my generation, anybody remember, go and give me the Viewmaster slide, that one finger slide. You remember, right? Google it, okay? Google it. Here it is. The Viewmaster, it was like binoculars, but it had a film in it with some steel shots. And Lillian, you remember, you used to put it on the inside of the binocular, and get this, you had to point it toward the light, because anytime you look in the dark, you couldn't really see the view. Even though the picture was there, you couldn't see the view because it was in the darkness. Some kids like, what is he talking about? I don't know. It's okay, I'm going to come back and get you here. But the Viewmaster, and had a film in it on the inside, but when you pointed that film toward the light, you could see the picture on the inside. Come here, I'm just trying to help you understand something, that no matter what your context is, no matter what your situation is, no matter what you're going through, you got to have the right kind of view, that if you point it toward the light, you see that God is still with you. David did. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, that I'll fear no evil, because thou art. I knew I had some Bible readers up in here. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Wait a minute. You can't have a shadow if there is no light. It all depends on what has your focus. Come here, brothers and sisters. Paul says he's writing this. He's writing this to help encourage the brothers and sisters that they might not live lives in discouragement, but rather deal definitively with the discouragement by being encouraged. How do you be encouraged? You interpret everything in your life through the lens of God's goodness. Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Not only interpret everything in your life through the lens of God's goodness, you understand then that what was happening in your life is a testimony for others to know of God's goodness. I hope I hope you're getting this. Man, if I was taking notes, I'd write that thing down. When you realize what God is doing and that your life is enveloped by his goodness, then you can live life knowing that God is using you as an instrument so others might know that he is a good God. That's why sometimes you go through what you're going through so others might see you go through it. And when they ask you, how is it that you made it through what you were going through, you can then testify, oh, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, boo. It wasn't because I had everything together, not that I had it made in the shade with a glass of lemon. No, it was because of the grace of the grace of God. And so Paul is writing. He's writing to encourage them, encourage their hearts, encourage our hearts today. And one of the ways we're encouraged is to know that God is not only good, but get this, he's so good that he will place blessings in your life. So it's important that you embrace God-given relationships as a gift of encouragement. I'm in text. Because Apostle Paul is sending this epistle by way of Tychicus. Try to say that real fast. Tychicus. Tychicus is an Asian believer. He hails from Asia, and he is a beloved brother of Paul. Don't miss this. Don't run past it too quickly. That Tychicus is an Asian believer. Paul, if you know anything about his ancestry.com, you understand that Paul hails as a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Now you got an Asian and a Hebrew, an uncommon relationship in connection. Why? Because of their connection to Christ. I hope you get this, that you have a multicultural connection because of their independent personal connection to Christ that brings them together. And because God brings them together, they're able to be with each other while they're going through what they're going through. You need a Tychicus in your life. And oftentimes, let me just preach Bible to y'all. Oftentimes, we're in this culture where we can't be transparent with each other. That we hold those things that we would deem vulnerable to us to ourselves and not share it with a trusted friend or brother. Oftentimes, we'll keep that in and we'll suffer in silence. And yet the Bible teaches us, particularly when it says confess your sins one to another. Let me go ahead and qualify that. That's not to everybody. Because everybody can't handle. No, but there is at least somebody who will love you unconditionally and in spite of that you can share with. In Paul's case, it's Tychicus. Now, Paul didn't do anything wrong to get himself in Roman captivity. No, he's preaching the gospel, and as a result of preaching the gospel, they're taking him in. Now he's in prison. But check out the context that Tychicus is not a prisoner, but Tychicus is a partner with Paul, and he's in it, in the prison with Paul. Get this. This is kind of friend you need, a 3 a.m. friend, not those fair weather friends. Man, I wish I, you know what, you need a ride or die friend. So somebody will be with you till the wheels fall. See, I'm the wrong. Paul has Tychicus, and Tychicus, he says, is a beloved brother. Don't miss this, because as believers, we are a family. Man, I hope you get this. We are a family. Look around. Look at your family members. Look around. Look at them. No, you're not looking at them. Look at your family members. Look at them. We're a family. God is our Father. And the epistle to the Ephesians is really the only epistle where Paul doesn't use the first person pronouns or second person pronouns of you and I. No, this is the only epistle that he writes that he uses a third person pronoun, brothers and sisters. All through the epistle, he says we are brothers and sisters. And now describing a brother who is from another mother, he says, this is my beloved brother. Now, I'm trying to help you all understand something. That if you want to deal with discouragement, embrace the God-given relationships that God has placed around you. Because God has called us to be a strength for each other. While we're going through. That's why life groups are so important. Because in life groups, you got people who do life with you. But lest I press that claim too long, and you understand that we're a family. Not only do you embrace God-given relationships, but he says something in the text. He says, Apostle Paul says, he says, I'm sending him for this very purpose, verse 22, that you might know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. Then check out what he says. Peace be to the brothers, some translations say brothers and sisters, and love with faith from God. Who is it from? Peace and love with faith comes from who? Comes from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Get this. If we're going to deal definitively with our discouragement, not only should we embrace God-given relationships, brothers and sisters, we must exchange uncertainty with confidence in God's credibility. Because there are a lot of things in life that we will be uncertain of. We don't know what's going to happen next, but there's something you can hold on to, and that is God's faithfulness. Look at text. He says both peace and love comes, Cheryl, I didn't see you in a while. Good to see you. Comes from God. It comes from God. God freely gives it, but we have to receive it. I hope you catch this, because Paul, in his writing to the Philippian church, he says that be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. I wish you'd help me preach up in here. Tell you that. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Here's the whole exchange. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we focus more on what God can do than on what we're going through, then we can have his peace. Man, I hope you get this. That when we have more concentration, in fact, I would urge you this week that in your prayer life, as you pray, consider this. Consider not telling God so much about your problems. But when your problems come, tell your problems about how big your God is. Man, I hope you catch this. That no matter what you're going through, you know that God, omnipresent God, omniscient God, God who is always there, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, is able to do what he says he's going to do. He says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. That's what God says. God says he will be there for you. And so the Apostle Paul writes and he says, listen, you can be encouraged because you can exchange what you see with God's credibility, because God gives you peace. About old school church, grandma would say that God gives you the kind of peace that the world can't give you and the world can't take away. And that's the peace he gives you. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Let me show you how this thing works. It works in such a way that you know, you can learn a lot from young children. Any of you have grandchildren? Any of you have children? And you want to give away your children? No, you can learn a lot from children. You can learn a lot from children. I learn a lot. It's all homiletical content. And as I drive and travel with the kids, all homiletical content. And last night, we were making our way from visiting Pastor George. We visited Pastor George on last night, who is doing well. Thank you for your prayers. He still solicits your prayers, so keep praying for him. And I was coming from that area of town, and as I was driving, Michael, something's wrong with Texas drivers. Yeah, something wrong with them. You won't believe this, right? But I had my signal light on. No, I did. And I was not aggressively. You know, I was getting into the lane that I was indicating. Okay, and this Texas driver, white pickup truck. I'm looking for him in the parking lot too. I'm checking. The only person who knows this is my wife. White pickup truck decided to abruptly get in the lane that I claimed first. No, I want you to see this here. So I'm trying to get in the lane, Tyrone, and you know me, bro. You know, I'm going to make my way, right? So I'm getting in the lane, but he tries to, I think it's a he, because a woman wouldn't have been driving that fast. I don't know. But anyway, I done lost a fourth of the congregation. All right, yeah. Time he comes in my lane, as he comes in my lane, I swerve back to correct so that we don't have a collision. Get this. My wife was the only one, Kiana was the only one who made a noise.
Some of you got wives like that too, you know. But the kids were in the back seat. And they were just as content and flowing. Nobody said, "Daddy, are you okay? Daddy, what happened?" I looked in the rearview mirror and I was like, the one is on the game, the other one's reading, the other one's singing. My heart, you know, I'm holding it down, but, you know, it was. And God said, "But that's how you're supposed to be." I hope you catch this. That when you understand that God orders your steps, when you understand that God directs your path, that you can live in perpetual peace because God's got you. Not only does he have you, but he keeps you. He keeps you. He keeps you in his grace. Grace is his favor. And God has been keeping us in his favor. God has been blessing us in spite of us. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We didn't earn it, but God keeps doing it anyway because he allows us to understand that when it comes down to discouragement, we don't have to be discouraged because we know that God's grace got us. I hope you get this. His favor, his goodness is upon us. And so what he allows us to do is to understand he loves us. And in understanding that he loves us, we're able to express his love for us as we love others because God got us. In fact, I got some new people for you to love. I got some new people for you to show some love to. All of our new members, would you stand? We have some new members in the house. Would you stand? All of our new members, you're about to head to the New Members Fellowship. Go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. There you are. When are you going to show them some love? Show them some love. Show them some love. No, keep standing. Don't sit down. Grab your purse, grab your wallet, grab everything you have, and go ahead and make your way to our New Members Fellowship. Come on, new members. Go and give them a hand as they make their way to our New Members Fellowship. I'll see y'all there in a moment. God bless you. So glad you're with us. Glad that you are a part of the family because all of us are living in God's grace. Don't miss this that Apostle Paul says that it's his grace that's with us. Look at the last verse. He says, "Grace be to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you see it there? How do we love him? We love him with love incorruptible. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is a love that doesn't shrink back. This is a love that doesn't diminish. This is not a temporary love. This is a growing love. And when we focus on the love that God has for us, as we allow his love to flow through us to others, it itself will encourage us. I hope you get this. Because God doesn't want us to be discouraged. No, he wants us to be encouraged. That our hearts be encouraged to know that he has us. That his grace is still able to keep us. And anytime you're face to face with dealing with discouragement, I'm going to challenge you to look back to the cross. When you see the cross, you're reminded that God loves you. When you know it, you live like it. Live in the bold assurance that you're God's child. And whatever you're going through, God already knew. And God is able to get you through whatever you're going through. So be encouraged.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.